gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Masks Weekly Radio Show on Family Matters. MASC, Mothers and Fathers Alliance, Saving Kids of all ages and all stages from mental health issues, school issues, addictions, whether your kids are very young or married with children, feel free to call the MASC Confidential Anonymous helpline for referral, support groups, inpatient, outpatient clinics, whatever it is you may need, a yeshiva, a school liaison. We can advise you and guide you to the right party, the right therapist, the right inpatient and outpatient clinic, whatever it is. So feel free to give us a call. Our number is 718-758-0400. And we are open every day from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Maybe you want to write our number down for yourself or a loved one, a neighbor, maybe someone you sit next to in shul. So I am going to repeat our number, and that again is 718-758-0400. We also could train you and give you a free naloxone kit, which is another form of Narcan for opioid overdose prevention. So if you may need it, or you know someone that may need it, everyone today should have one in their shuls, in their synagogues, in their places of prayer, in their homes, because you never know if you see someone outside your home, maybe a kid's friend comes over who's taking opioids and passes out right in front of you and overdoses. It is so important to have a free kit available so that you can save a life. And by saving one life, saving one's world. So if you know somebody that could benefit, please give them our number. We can have them trained. It's a very short training. It's a nasal spray, and we will be happy to get it to their home. Or if they'd like to come to the office, we will let them know where and when we could arrange for them to get that kit. So again, feel free to give out our number. And we are coming up in February to our 23rd year since MASC began. So let's continue to help people that are reaching out and those that are suffering that are not reaching out. So if you know someone, please give them our number, 718-758-0400. Tonight, I'm very, very happy to have with us someone that I actually met through the South Brooklyn Connected Community Coalition. And we sit together every month. We sit together and talk about putting together programs for a drug-free community, for an addiction-free community, to educate in the community for our common goal of safe and health, whether it's for addictions, drugs, alcohol, gambling, all mental health issues are included when someone suffers with addictions. So many families are devastated by addiction and are neglected by addiction. Tonight we are talking about gambling. And Ashley Santangelo, I would like to welcome you. How are you?
Thank you for the warm welcome, Reshama. Good evening. I am so happy to be here. I really appreciate the great work for the community that you do over at MASC, and it's an honor to collaborate with you on this discussion.
So let's tell our listeners all about the Problem Gambling Resource Center that New York City has available. Can you tell us about it?
Sure, I'd love to. So the Problem Gambling Resource Center, which I'll refer to throughout the interview as the PGRCs, are all over New York State, and our parent agency is the New York Council on Problem Gambling, which has two primary missions. One mission is to increase public awareness about problem gambling, and another part of the mission is to expand treatment and support options for people who are impacted. And the council has a neutral stance on gambling, so we don't take any positions on gambling as an issue. We are simply here to educate people about the warning signs of what it may look like if somebody is struggling with it and expand options that they have to get treatment and support.
So can you give our listeners a sense of the scope of this problem about how many people are impacted by problem gambling that is reported, obviously, because there are so many that people don't even know about?
Correct. I imagine that there's a lot of information that's not reported. But based on the data we do have, studies show that up to 5% of adults in New York State have a gambling problem. So if you look at Brooklyn, for an example, we have about 2.5 million people in this borough. That means potentially there could be 125 people in the borough that could have a problem in their lives due to gambling.
So, I mean, gambling, there's so many different definitions that people could imagine gambling really is. Can you define problem gambling, please?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. I'm happy to clarify. So we have a pretty simple definition that we use for this. So we consider problem gambling to be any type of gambling that causes a problem in the gambler's life or in the life of a significant other, meaning any family member, or a significant friend or coworker in that person's life. Many times the problems resulting from gambling are financial, but they're not limited to that. In addition to financial trouble, problem gambling can also result in consequences such as strained relationships, decreased productivity in other areas of life, mood changes, and legal ramifications.
So, Ashley, what are some of the signs that somebody might be struggling with this problem of gambling? And how can people tell if someone they know is struggling, please?
Yeah, those are great questions. So there's many signs that somebody could be struggling with a gambling problem. One possibility is that perhaps you notice that somebody is neglecting responsibilities that they have in order to focus on gambling activities. And these can be responsibilities in various areas of life. Could be work, could be home, school. Usually it's a combination of a couple things, but, that's one big sign. Are they neglecting responsibilities that they otherwise had a good handle on? Of course, that's not only, a sign of a problem with gambling. It could be many things, but that is often something that's noticed in the context of gambling problems. Another possibility is that perhaps they're using money that should otherwise be put aside for necessary expenses to gamble. Again, that is not only indicative of gambling, it could be other things too, but that's usually a big red flag with people who are gambling. It could also be a possibility that they are gambling with an increasing amount of money and placing riskier bets. So, if you're gambling with somebody in a social situation and you notice that perhaps they are, upping the ante with the amount of money that they are risking, that may be a sign that they're developing a problem.
Yeah, and problems, preoccupation with gambling could include you know, their debt skyrocketing, people losing their homes, people not trusting them at work if they know their peers, you know, maybe someone's gambling in the office, and then you lose respect because you're afraid to have him partake in the business situation, possibly. There's so many different effects, as negative effects, as, you know, with gambling. And by the way, in the religious community, you know, we have our laws, and compulsive gamblers are not kosher as witnesses, by the way. So that's really something very strong to understand. But I want to bring up, if you could explain to my listeners, gambling sounds similar to drug and alcohol addictions in general as an addiction. So just for my listeners to understand the similarities and differences between problem gambling and chemical dependency, if you can explain, please.
Absolutely. That's another great question. So gambling triggers the same reward circuitry in the brain that most drugs do. So with both behaviors, you have a stimulus, which is something that activates the brain, and then the brain's response. So for example, with addictive substances, the stimulus is the potentially addictive drug, and the response is the dopamine rush, you know, what many people refer to as the quote-unquote high, you know, that the person experiences as a result. So with gambling, the stimulus is often the object of value that the person is betting with, right? And in most circumstances, that object of value is money. And many people think to the response to this stimulus, to using this money to bet, comes when people win, but the dopamine rush, you know, again, otherwise, you know, known as the high, is actually experienced during the period of time in between placing a bet and waiting to find out whether or not you win. So in other words, with problem gambling, you know, the money is the drug and the risk is the high. So in that sense, you know, in terms of the high you get as a response to a stimulus, it's similar to substance-related addictions, you know, as are some of the warning signs and potential consequences, as we both talked about earlier. One notable difference, however, is that, you know, gambling is a more widely accepted social behavior than substance use is, which absolutely increases the stigma associated with discussing the problem and seeking support. You know, and studies have shown pretty consistently that adults have a more permissive attitude towards their child's gambling than attitudes towards tobacco use, marijuana use, and alcohol use. You know, furthermore, certain types of gambling, such as raffles, for example, are frequently available at fundraising events, including events when youth are present. So for a lot of those reasons, it can be really difficult for people to come forward if they notice a gambling addiction. And there definitely is stigma absolutely around substance use disorders as well. Gambling, though, I think is perhaps even more ingrained in the culture. So I think to say that it's an activity that you have a problem with really, really can take a lot of courage.
Yeah. You know, you bring up raffles. I want to just tell you, I was away on vacation. I was going in to buy a drink in one of these little stores on the side road where we were. And a young boy, I think he was 15 years old, he said, approached me. I didn't know at the time how old he was. I didn't know him. He says, "Excuse me, can I give you $20? Can you buy me some lottery tickets?" And this happened a few years ago, and I looked at him and I go, "No, why are you asking me to do that?" He goes, "Because I'm underage." So I do want to say that recently, this happened a few years ago, recently, it was the holiday, it was Hanukkah time, and I went in to buy something in a local store, and I'm online, and the person before me said to the owner, "Thank you for getting me those 50 lottery tickets." And I said, maybe I shouldn't have, but I did say, "What are you doing with 50 lottery tickets?" So she says, "I give them out to my grandchildren for gifts over the holidays." Now, to me, that was a little concerning, being that I, you know, we have a helpline. We're doing this 22 years already, starting our 23rd year in February. And I know, that on our helpline, we have hundreds and hundreds of families that have been destroyed because of gambling, that started with a card game, betting, with lottery tickets. I mean, just recently we had a family that, like you said about parents, you know, parents sometimes make the issues a little less than they are. We're normal. We don't want it to be, you know, that our child has a big problem. So I'd like you to explain the issue with lottery and even, you know, card games, whatever. You know, we're not saying that there's never a time. I know over Hanukkah there are people that play kvitlach, this card game, but when it turns into a gambling issue, which so many have started with that, and it turns into compulsive gambling, I'd like you to talk more about that, please.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's a really great, you know, I'm glad that you brought up, for example, raffles and lottery, because those are activities that I think many people have a hard time, you know, when they think of gambling, those are usually not the first activities that come to mind. So gambling is defined as an activity where somebody risks something of value on a game of chance for a desired outcome. So if you look at raffles, for example, you know, and the lottery as well, it's an activity where people are risking something of value, right? Because money is something of value, you know, regardless of how much money it is. They're risking it on a game of chance because they don't know what the result would be, and it's for a desired outcome, which is winning more money. So any activity that fits in that within that definition is considered gambling. And this is really where, you know, our mission comes in, you know, when working with these types of gambling, because many people can gamble without it being a problem. However, when part of what we do is step in and let people know, right, when they can discover the warning signs. So for example, if you have a family where, you know, any one of the things you mentioned, you know, raffle, lottery, cards is frequently played in the family, and there are children involved who may also be placing bets, what we do is basically, you know, just educate parents about, okay, so this is what to look out for. You know, this is something that could be problematic. And the reason why we focus a lot of information on a lot of information about getting the word out about the risks with youth who gamble, you know, is because, you know, because of where youth are at their stage in brain development, they're really more vulnerable to any kind of addictive behavior, more so than adults, because their prefrontal cortex, which is the part of the brain that, you know, controls judgments and handles impulse, is not fully formed yet. So youth are more vulnerable to adults, you know, than adults for developing problems related to gambling. And we just want to get the information out to make the parents aware of that and how to notice the warning signs. We do want to let parents know that this is a risky behavior, and basically arm families with the information, and they can decide from there what is then healthiest for their child.
And it's important that we note that some people can gamble or bet a single time, win or lose, and walk away from it, and others cannot. And whether it's an adult, an adolescent, a child, gambling does destroy quickly. So it's so important for us to have that awareness. So we appreciate you bringing this, you know, to the forefront in the communities at large.
Absolutely.
People go to Atlantic City, people go upstate, you know, this gambling new place there. I mean, people go to Chinese auctions. People, like I said, buy lottery tickets. So we are not saying any of those things are good. I'm not saying good or bad. I'm saying that one needs to recognize that gambling does creep up. Compulsive gambling can creep up very fast. And gamblers risk everything, and marriages and families are devastated. And like I said, children get neglected. And life sort of gets meaningless when you are preoccupied with gambling. So I'd like to talk about the laws that limit the ages in general, if you can bring that up, please.
Yes, sure. So by law, and this is not the legal end of it. I'm going to do a disclaimer. That's not really what my area of expertise is on as a whole. However, what I can tell you is that, yes, you know, gambling is not legal, you know, in New York State for people under age 21. Sports betting, is also currently illegal, but it looks like it is going to be made legal in the near future. So that's something that we are definitely we're definitely keeping aware of. That's okay. Just one more thing, you know, we do want to stress as well is, you know, whether somebody is gambling legally or illegally, it all carries risk. Right. So, you know, part of what we're trying to get out is, you know, is that any activity that fits that definition of risking something of value, you know, for an outcome based on chance is still something that's of concern to us, regardless of their legal status, you know, and one of the reasons that these are, you know, going back to the youth, one of the reasons that these are not legal for youth is because it's based on the science, you know, it's based on where youth are at in their brain development, and it is taking youth safety into consideration because the research does back that these activities are riskier for those really, you know, under 24, 25.
Yeah, we are running out of time, but I do want to mention that parents should be on the lookout for the signs of gambling.
Sure.
Parents always know last when their kids are on drugs, when kids gamble. We always know last. Friends know, school peers know, but we need to recognize how the child managing their money or adult. You know, are they honest and reliable? Do they borrow a lot of money? Is there unexplained money missing, maybe? Does your child or loved one, you know, suddenly been spending a lot of money and can't show for what? Watch their activities. And also, you know, like games online, if you're watching your loved one's phones and see what they're doing on their phones. These are all flags that should make us examine the child's behavior, activities. And if someone suspects that there is a gambling problem, there are professionals available, don't wait until it escalates. Call, find out, let's see what's available. And just quickly, if you can share about the New York City Resource Center, about the treatment available.
Absolutely. So at the Problem Gambling Resource Centers, we have therapists who are specially trained in treating gambling problems that we can refer anybody to.
We're not hearing you, Zev. So, Ashley, before we close up, I just want to mention it's so confusing because if somebody is allowed to play a game for the holiday time and then they're being told that it's not good, or people buy a lottery ticket and they talk about it and then they are told don't buy so many, it can be confusing to parents.
Absolutely, it can definitely be confusing. And part of the way we try to help families is to simplify the message. We don't want to tell anybody, don't gamble, put simply, right? What we want to do is give people the information about what problems with gambling might look like and what some of the more at-risk populations are, including youth. So it's something that families can be mindful of when making decisions. So we try to keep, again, you know, we try to keep the message simple, inform people of the risks, rather than telling people what to do.
Well, thank you so much for being on tonight, Ashley, and I hope to have you on again for further discussions. And anyone that wants to speak to Ashley, feel free to call MASC. We will connect you. She's available to give you the best attention for resources for your loved one, for yourself, for your child, and even for your schools to talk about prevention. So if anyone out there wants to speak to Ashley, feel free. Call the MASC helpline at 718-758-0400, and she's a great team leader, let me tell you. She's always there to help. So feel free to give us a call, and we'll connect you to Ashley. Thank you for being on our show tonight, Ashley.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much, Rashama. I will be seeing you around at the coalition meetings and hope to continue our work together.
Yep. And anyone that wants to join a coalition meeting, give MASC a call and we'll tell you all about the opportunities that are available, whether it's a business, a parent, an organization, whether it's a healthcare professional, a religious organization, youth, schools, media. We have a coalition right here in South Brooklyn that you can join, and it's really wonderful to give back to the community. So anyone interested, feel free to call MASC. And I'd like to wish everyone a very good evening. And always remember, hang in, hold on, hug tight. Thank you, and have a good night.
Are you a small business owner looking to expand your business, or perhaps looking to buy a business? Are you having trouble getting a bank loan and don't want to pay high interest rates? Then let SBA Loan Group help you buy a business for as little as 10% down utilizing an SBA program. SBA loans are small business loans guaranteed by the government, allowing participating lenders to offer more flexible terms and lower interest rates over a longer period of time. With over 15 years of experience, SBA Loan Group LLC is one of the largest SBA loan packagers in the United States. They specialize in assisting businesses in navigating the SBA process and help you qualify for an SBA loan. For a no-obligation consultation, call Yankee Markowitz at the SBA Loan Group at 484-SBA-LOAN. That's 484-SBA-LOAN, online at sbaloangroup.com. SBA Loan Group, helping your business grow with low-cost SBA loans.
Did you ever- ever consider hosting your own radio or television show? We can help you get on the air. Talkline Communications works with broadcasters as well as with TV and radio stations in New York and nationwide that lease time, all at competitive rates. We work with doctors, lawyers, and other professionals, as well as with ethnic broadcasters. For more information about hosting your own radio or TV show, please call 212-769-1925. 212-769-1925. And out of New York, call 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW. That's 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW.